Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, the Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 51. Shri Narada Vacha, Etavat Varnita Guno, Bhaktya Bhaktena Nirgunaha, Paradam Pranatam Prito, Yatamayur Abhashata. Shri Narada Vacha. Shri Narada Muni said, Etavat, up to this, Varnita, described, Gunaha, transcendental qualities, Bhaktya, with devotion, Bhaktena, by the devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, Nirguna, the transcendental Lord, Paradam, unto Prahlad Maharaj, Pranatam, who was surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord, Pritaha, being pleased, Yatamanyu, controlling the anger, Abhashata, began to speak as follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great Saint Narada said, thus Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up His anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, He spoke as follows. Purport. The word nirguna is important. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the absolute truth as nirguna or nirakara. The word nirguna refers to one who possesses no material qualities. The Lord, being full of spiritual qualities, gave up all His anger and spoke to Prahlad. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Parada Bhadram Bhadram Te Pritoham Te Sarotama Varam Rinish Vabin Matam Kama Puro Smi Yaham Narinam. Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Prahlad, O most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhaktavatsala, the Supreme Personality, who is very much affectionate to His devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the devotee offered His devotee all benedictions. Supreme Personality of God had said, in effect, I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anything else, that prayer will also be fulfilled. Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or His devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all his desires will be fulfilled. I'll read the verse next one too because it's so short. My dear Prahlad, you may live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. Janma karma to me divyam evam yoveti tatvada tyaktvadeham punarjanma naitimam eti sarjana. If one can actually understand Krishna in truth, not just theoretically, but by experience, then one can go back to the spiritual world. And to understand Krishna in truth, Vita Raga Vayakroda Manmaya Mamupashitya Bahava Gana Tapasa Puta Madbhavam Agata. So this word is puta. Puta means purified. And how do we become purified? We have to give up vita, raga, baya, and krodha. Attachment, fear, and anger. In other words, we have to give up the material concept of life. There are three stages of the material concept of life. One is that one is so much absorbed in materialism that one cannot conceive of anything beyond the gross and subtle material bodies. And that generally leads one to the stage of not believing that there's anything beyond matter, and that if there is something beyond matter, that is, God doesn't, is not a person, but if there is a controller, then it's impersonal. And beyond that is the conception that there's no truth whatsoever, everything is just imagination, the void is philosophy, that at the end, everything is zero. So these are different stages of material existence. If one is on the materialistic stage, then certainly he'll become attached to the material energy, because there's nothing else he could become attached to. And if one is on the impersonal stage, then one will be fearful that maybe I could become a person again, and I'll have all these problems. My worst enemy and myself will go back to the spiritual world and will fight it out there eternally. That's quite fearful, especially if you always lose the fight. And the third is, at the end, anger, frustration, that at the end everything is zero. Greatest saint in the world and the greatest asura, the greatest demon, when they're dead, they just disappear. And it doesn't matter what you did, it's zero. You get zero. Whether you're a pious person or you're a sinful person, at the end it's all zero, so it doesn't really make any difference. You work so hard to make the world good, and then you disappear, and that's it. So these are all different stages of material concept of life, and therefore we have the process of devotional service. Adau, Shraddha, Tita, Sadhusanga, Tiyabhajan Kriya, Anartha Niruti Syat, Tito Ruchis, Tita Nishta, Tita Nishta, Sato Ruchis, Tita Saktis, Tito Bhava, Tita Prema Bhyadunchiti, Sadakanamayam Premna, Pradurbhave Bhavat Krama. So the beginning, there has to be some kind of faith. That's why we're speaking about Krishna, to instill faith, faith that there is a Krishna, and that there's nothing better, there's nothing higher than Krishna. Everyone is making their advertisements. The whole world is based on advertisement, that you buy this, you buy that, you do this, you do that, then you'll become happy. Everyone is searching for happy. Happiness means to avoid unpleasant things and to try to find something which is pleasant. But actually, in the material world, there is nothing which is actually ultimately really pleasant. It's all miserable. But, of course, people don't like to hear that, including ourselves. We don't like to think that everything is bad, although everything ultimately is bad. But it's good if we understand the bad is meant to help us get to the good. In other words, we're supposed to realize we're suffering. And if we don't realize we think we're happy, then that's the worst possible position you can be in. Because if you think you're happy, then you won't try to get out of your suffering. Now, what we mean by suffering, people can understand, because they're suffering so much, they've gotten used to it. And they have no experience of the higher positive taste of Krishna consciousness. They think God is nirguna. He has no quality. So there's nothing to see there. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing worthwhile to find out about because there's nothing very interesting there. Nothing is not the most interesting subject in the world. Although I did mention that when I was doing a program in a bookstore, esoteric bookstore, there are this whole bookshelf of books by Rajneesh Osha. And so I picked up one of them to see what was inside. It was the last book he wrote, and there was all blank pages, because that was his ultimate realization, it's all nothing. So that's very easy to learn that philosophy. You don't have to study very much, or you could read his whole book, and it convinces you on every page that there's nothing. Still, it costs money to buy the book, so that's something. You should make the book should cost nothing also, because there's nothing inside the book. In any case, people think that God, the Supreme, is nirguna, niraka, and therefore they're not interested in him, because they've lost their intelligence, because they're mudhas. Therefore, and they're taking shelter of the biggest mudhas, the Maya Pritigyanas, and even worse than them are the Ashram Bhavam Ashvityas. The Maya Pritigyanas are the mental speculators who actually try to convince people that there is no God by so-called philosophy. And the worst ones are the Ashram Bhavam Ashvityas, who are so envious of God that even if one can prove that there is a God, they become very disturbed. As I said, one Christian priest said that these Hare Krishna's philosophy definitely must have come from the devil. Because the philosophy is so good that only the devil could have created it. So this is the worst, the most envious people. You put a torchlight in front of their eyes, they'll claim there's no light. Can't see a thing. Their eyes are closed, shut tight. So they refuse to acknowledge even the bright sunlight. They claim it's all darkness. In any case, one has to get free from these three attachments to material existence. And the only way of doing it is to accept, at least theoretically, that there is a God. Otherwise, what kind of devotion? In other words, if the ultimate goal is love, and everyone's talking about love in the material world, they're all singing about it, they're writing books about it, there's movies about it, but how much love actually is there in the material world? If lust was love, then everyone should be very friendly to each other. All the birds should be singing even in the winter. Everything should be, the roses should sprout in the winter also, just simply out of love. But we find that love, so-called love or lust, turns into greed after some time. And greed turns into anger. And anger turns into delusion. And people are walking around in delusion. They're claiming they love each other, but their activities are those of enviousness. Nowadays, people can't even live in their family together peacefully. They're envious of each other, even in the family. Usually the worst day in the year is Christmas Day. That's when people fight the most. Finally get to meet their relatives again. Or they feel they have no relatives, or they're all by themselves and get depressed. Everyone else is happy, and I'm the only one in the universe who's not happy. And they become suicidal. So either you're fighting with your relatives, or you're lamenting you don't have any. But ultimately, it's all miserable. Therefore, only if one finds out what the real object of relationship is, namely Krishna, going to actually become happy and satisfied and peaceful. Only if we realize we're eternal can we actually become free from our lamentations. Because everyone's lamenting, oh, it could have been like this or it could have been like that, but it wound up like this. If I can go back my time machine, I could change it. And then everything would be perfect for at least 10 seconds before it got all bad again. Now I've learned so much, if I can only become 5 years old again, I can get 100% of my spelling test or my math test. So, with such an attitude, you'll certainly get a chance to come back. Maybe take the test again. You'll have to learn 1 + 1 = 2 again and again and again. Therefore, one should try to understand how God is a person and that he's the supreme person. And rather than be envious of him, try to find out what he'd like us to do for our own benefit and for the benefit of everyone else. And since he's the reservoir of all pleasure, what he'd like us to do is become conscious of him. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness, the process of developing faith in Krishna, getting free from the things that take our minds away from Krishna, and being able to appreciate everyone and everything in their relationship to Krishna. Then, as one becomes conscious of Krishna, and one also becomes conscious of oneself and everything else in relationship to Krishna, then all one's hankering and lamentation disappear gradually. Because one realizes, I'm eternal. I'm by nature full of bliss, and my awareness is perfect. When I'm in Krishna consciousness, I can see everything and everyone as they really are, and that is in relation to Krishna. And without Krishna, there's only darkness. If you take the sun away, it doesn't matter how many candles you light, it's never going to become the same as the sunlight. So, well, without Krishna, everything is shramam eva hi kevalam. So Prahlad realized this. He was offering prayers to Krishna, and Krishna wants to give him benedictions, but Prahlad has already rejected all kinds of benedictions because he realizes that he doesn't need anything. He's already perfectly happy. But what he does want is to benefit others because he sees they're wasting their time. They could also be happy. Why should they be unhappy? They should also become conscious of Krishna and be happy. But they have to do something. Prahlad just doesn't wave his hand and everyone becomes happy. They have to do something. So therefore Prahlad is a preacher. And if they do something to please Krishna and his devotees, then Krishna will benedict them. If the devotee is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. When the pure devotee is pleased, and Krishna is pleased, and the person who pleased them, they get benefited. Then Krishna becomes obligated to them. Prabhupada said, if you love me, then love my dog. Or probably a better example, Prabhupada said, if you have a multi-billionaire, what can you do for him? Bake him some cookies? You could do that. But he probably could have someone else bake cookies too. You're not probably going to get a very big benediction if you bake him some cookies. He might not even eat them. He might not even accept them. He might not be able to give them to him. But if he has a son and you give him a 1 50 cents piece of candy and the son becomes pleased, then the multi-billionaire also feels obligated towards you. So, purport of this verse is go and find some multi-billionaire with a son, hand out candy to him. See if you can sell him a few hundred sets of books. And if you can't do that, then try to please Krishna's devotee, and then Krishna will arrange it so you can sell a few hundred sets of books. Krishna is pleased. Then all benedictions are there, but the highest benediction is Prema Paramartham Mahan, that we may develop love of Krishna, and if we develop love of Krishna, then the benedictions are unlimited. As Krishna told the gopis, that I cannot repay you for all your love and devotion. that let your devotional service itself be your repayment. Because devotional service is so pleasing when it's rendered on the platform of pure devotion, pure love, that there can be nothing greater than that. That even Krishna himself wants to experience that, so he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what the highest state of pure devotion is, as exhibited by Srimati Radharani. Conclusion is, we should understand the value of devotional service, understand that we have a relationship with Krishna eternally, and that we should act according to that relationship in our dealings, and then everything will be there, more than we can even begin to imagine. And people who don't know that, then they're the most unfortunate. They may have all the material assets, all the material abilities, but if they don't know Krishna, then their lives have been wasted. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I heard recently one discussion about topic was that the Krishna is the controller, he's the supreme proprietor, and that every jiva has quota. So how much material things jiva will get in one's life. So one devotee said that, there was discussion going, one devotee said that if jiva do devotional service, no separate endeavor is needed because Krishna will provide whatever is needed. And the other said that this could be a mistake, that by this, especially grihastas, they can become lazy. So for grihastas, it would be better to put as much effort possible for earning more money, so that by this they can provide other ashrams. So my question would be, if you are grihastha and maybe you have what is better, maybe to put more endeavor in devotion and then accept whatever you get?
Well, I mean, you have to be, every grihastha has a different level of consciousness. If you like to eat more, then you're going to have to work more. That's the way it is. So depending on your level, what level of material comfort and sense gratification you want, you have to plan your life accordingly. But at the same time, have a certain level of regulated sadhana so that gradually you can become purified, and that whatever level that you can work on can gradually naturally diminish as you get the higher taste in Krishna consciousness. But to imagine that everyone is on the same level and everyone, there's one shoe fits everyone, it's not practical. You have to ascertain what you desire, what you need, what you think you need, and what endeavor is going to require to get that. And then at the same time, you have to maintain a steady sadhana so that one can gradually become purified and gradually become satisfied in Krishna consciousness so that one's needs diminish gradually. But if you give up your needs artificially, then you'll become morose. And you'll give up devotional service too. Prabhupada gives the example of C.R. Das. He was earning 50,000 rupees at that time. He was a magistrate, or a barrister, or kind of lawyer. And he was making so much money, he was one of the wealthiest people at that time, especially amongst professionals. 50,000 rupees at that time was 50,000 euros nowadays, a month. So he was fabulously wealthy. But he was always lamenting. So his wife asked him, "Why are you always lamenting?" He said, "Well," she said, "what do you want to be? You have everything." So he pointed to a mendicant in the street. Then he joined Gandhi's movement. And Gandhi wanted all the lawyers to give up their jobs and work for him and not be a lawyer in the English court. So he gave up his occupation, he joined Gandhi's movement. Gandhi, instead of giving him 50,000 rupees a month, he was giving him 500. So his standard of living went down drastically, and he became more and more depressed, and finally he died after that. But then Prabhupada gives the example, Tyatvatornam Ashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sada Tuchavat Budva Dina Gunesha Ko Karunaya Gopina Kanta Shito Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kolola Magna Mohur. Prabhupada gives the example that the six Goswamis, they were even more fabulously wealthy. Rupa Goswami had a boat filled with gold coins. Imagine if you had a boat nowadays filled with gold coins. You could buy Slovenia with that. And have a little left over for maybe Austria. But they gave it all up. They went to Vrindavan. They lived like mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation from Krishna that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. So, if you're enjoying transcendental pleasure at every moment, you can give up your material life. But if you're not, then you may be consider that you have to maintain a certain level of happiness and then go on with the devotional service. Anything else? Yes.
I just in the purport, Prabhupada said that Krishna fulfills also desires if we pray for others.
Yes.
I was just thinking, in the Christian world, they pray and suffer for others so that others will
suffer for others. Krishna really especially likes when you suffer for others.
But yeah, we don't. I mean, in our
you don't have to suffer for anyone else. They're suffering enough.
Yes.
This idea of suffering for others is absurd.
I was thinking this. Yes. Why would you suffer for
you should
other
be
person?
You should do something that will benefit others. Krishna is not pleased when he sees that you're purposely trying to suffer for others. You should do something to benefit others. That is, please Krishna. Why should anyone be happy seeing your suffering? But I know, because there's some conceptions in some other religions that somehow or another suffering is beneficial. Yes, suffering is beneficial. Krishna says, Yadagre janubandi, yadtaragre vishamiva parinami ritopamam, tatsukam satvikam proktam, atmabuddhi prasadamja. That which in the beginning can be bitter like poison, but at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So, our suffering is tapasya. We perform tapasya based on knowledge that we're not this body. But our tapasya is to become free from sense gratification. So there may appear to be suffering, but actually it's not really suffering, it's purification. So that kind of suffering is welcome. Fasting on Ekadasi from grains and beans, and that fasting on Janmasami. That there's suffering, but it's purifying because we're thinking about Krishna, because we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, although it appears to be suffering, ultimately, is when we're purified, it'll be ecstatic. But if we're suffering in the beginning and at the end, yad tad anubandhe cha, that which in the beginning and the end is blind to self-realization, which is yad tad agre vishami, yad tad agre vishami va. Yad agre chanubande cha sukha mohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramadoktam tatamasamudaretam. That happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from the beginning and the end, which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, said to be the nature of ignorance. So if you suffer rather in the mode of ignorance, then you'll become ignorant and you won't be benefiting them at all. And if you go through tapasya, then you'll be benefited. As far as benefiting others, they'll be benefited if you if you are a well-wisher, if you're pleased by their service, then they'll spiritually advance. Krishna will help them. So better to do devotional service, or inspire them to do devotional service, and then when you're pleased by their service, then Krishna will help them advance. Ultimately, our aim is to get free from all suffering, not to indulge in it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.